There are so many amazing pieces of art in our community that were created by my guests, Willie Ray Parrish and Becky Hendrick. And there is going to be a gaping vacuum in La Union before too long because you're picking up and moving on.
That's true.
Do you have permission for this? Who'd you ask?
I asked him, and he asked me, and we agreed.
Well,
it's
darn
time.
Oh, I can appreciate the fact that it's time, but it's going to be difficult. Let's drop back a little bit. You are both now retired professors from UTEP, but let's drop back for those who are unfamiliar with you and your work, where you came from and how you got here.
We were both teaching in Muncie, Indiana at Ball State University.
Mm-hmm.
And the winters up there, the first winter in Muncie was a record winter back in about 1981, 82. And we started looking at a map immediately, decided where we were going because we could not handle the Midwestern winter.
And we looked around the edge of the country. We were thinking the Carolinas or maybe even California. And then a job opened up at UTEP for a sculptor, and we realized El Paso is on the edge, too.
Oh, in more ways than one.
Very much.
Absolutely.
On the edge.
Yes, and you've taken us further toward the edge on occasion, which is a good thing for artists to do. So your year of arrival here was?
1984. August of 84.
You started right up as a sculptor?
Yes.
Professor? Sculpture professor, rather, and served to chair of the department twice.
That's right.
So that explains
right.
Gray hair right there.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
And Becky, when did you start immediately? Or?
No, he left me in Muncie for a fourth winter because I was teaching at two schools up there, Anderson University and Ball State, and I moved down in early 85. And I taught at UTEP for a couple of semesters adjunct and then started teaching full-time adjunct at community college for 15 years.
Oh, all right.
And then full-time as a lecturer at UTEP for the last 13 years.
And your medium at that point?
Well, early on it was studio. I was a painter. I am a painter. I'm a very two-dimensional person, so I can teach color theory, design, that sort of thing. And Ray does all the building and has the 3D vision, so he handles all that.
How interesting. I would love to be a fly on the wall as far as how that has affected your conversations over the years. But I love your wonderful philosophy.
At some point, I left the studio, though. When I came to UTEP, I was asked to design a course that was a lecture course with labs. You know of this. We've talked about it before. Whole arts.
Absolutely.
So I shifted from studio to talking about art instead of making art.
That was where I was heading regarding how your work has evolved from the visual art. Describe the need to articulate. Was that something that you came up with because you were called upon to do it, or was it inherent to you anyway? And I'm going to pull a trick question here on you. What do you think, Willie Ray?
Well, she was actually on a committee to sort of explore the possibility of creating a course that would support the College of Education students and have them do better on their exit exams in the art categories.
Okay.
And so that's kind of how it sort of started developing, but Becky can explain it better than I.
I think I have a pretty broad view when it comes to the arts, you know. I danced growing up, and I was a singer. I sang my way. I was a member of the singing,
swinging. You know, I was going to crack a dumb joke about you're being the one that explored all the disciplines.
Well,
now you're telling me you did.
I was a singing, swinging Tulanian. And back
then, you still are. Swinging, El Pasoan.
It meant something much more innocent back in the 60s. So, but I opted to be a visual artist is what I did. Uh-huh. And I also have always written. So I was able to sort of do all that stuff and leave Ray to the, you know, hardcore welding and cutting things and lifting things.
The manly man.
I just sit around in a chair with a book, you know.
Hey, that's not a bad combination. It keeps her out of the shop. And, let's elucidate a little bit to the rest of us out here about this having enough time to yourselves. Nice eye roll there. I wish you could have seen that, listeners.
That's one of the things that's so wonderful about retirement is that you get to spend all that time in the studio doing just what you want to do. You know, teaching is a wonderful way for an artist to make a living, but it also takes a lot of time out of that schedule. So that's kind of the reward of retirement is that you get to spend all your time doing what you want to do. And we've worked very hard since we've retired. It isn't a lot of sitting around and...
Yeah, no, I don't think you'll ever get into that mode. But that was also one of the things I pondered about your lives here in El Paso. What would be the gains and or losses had you not had to teach, if you had just been set up to where you could hide away and do nothing but your art? What would you have gained and what would you have lost? What would we have gained and lost?
Well, we've gotten to know thousands of wonderful people. We have students drop by our house on a regular basis. We had a young man recently bring his girlfriend by and introduce us as his white parents. and it's really kind of a regular thing that students are dropping by and just coming by for a visit.
Oh,
and, you know, that would
wonderful.
Be a big, big thing taken out of the equation had we not spent these years at UTEP teaching.
Yeah.
And Becky taught thousands of people more than I did because she had big lecture classes of 100 at a time.
And I probably had a harder time retiring or giving up teaching because I really, really enjoyed having a soapbox and having a captive audience. Anybody who knows me.
How wonderfully candid of you to be able to say that. That's lovely.
A granddaughter drew a picture of our extended family. And since I'm short, she put me on a box and it just cracked me up because it was
perfect.
Like she's only 5 years old and she
Such
knows
insight.
That I'm Stana, I tell you. So,
yeah. Well, people who won't admit how much they enjoy it are usually bores.
Right.
Yeah. So when you are upfront about it, it's very different.
But I'm writing now. I'm still using words. I'm just not saying. I don't say them out loud to an audience anymore. But I think I had a little harder time getting over that than Ray did because studio teaching is a different animal altogether.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Your lives have been so interlocked through the arts and yet so discreet because of your disciplines and the different ways you approach things. So tell me how the plan to go where you are going now formulated, and where are you going?
Well, it came about because 9 years ago we bought property in Puerto Peñasco, Mexico. And during the last years of our teaching, we would spend every Thanksgiving, Christmas break, spring break, and as soon as school is out, we run to the beach in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
So we've worked on the property down there and made it much more comfortable and have really kind of developed a life in Mexico. And that's 500 miles from here. It's the closest beach to El Paso, but it's still 500 miles.
Yeah.
So the point of this next move is to relocate in Tucson, where we're only 200 miles from there, and we'll probably spend the majority of our time in Mexico. But have an American base.
I can see the practicality of the plan. I just don't like the fact that El Paso is not in it. But what what will bring you back here?
I think for the next year or two, our property, which is being handed over to us to the next generation of very creative people, is going to still be open to us, particularly Ray. He's not going to have every tool, every piece of metal, every sculpture moved off the property.
Oh,
and
good.
So I would say once a month for the next indefinite future, he's going to be pulling a trailer back and forth between Tucson and El Paso.
Well, that is certainly one of the challenges of being someone who works in metal.
It really is a unique challenge. I don't think your son would understand this, but not many other people would. It's just not something you want to have to do. We moved a sculptor in from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, to chair our department a few years ago, and it literally meant tons and tons of material and equipment. When he left here, he actually turned some of that over to me just because he didn't want to move it again.
Yeah, that's how people inherit these things.
That's right.
It's like, I don't want to move it again.
Right.
Would you please take this? Oh, God.
And some of that will be happening with some of the stuff at my place.
We should take this opportunity, this microphone, to say that between now and August 1st, there will be many opportunities for people to come and look at art, look at stuff that isn't art, look at tools, look at just stuff
Garage
that we are.
Sale.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Studio
oh, yes.
sale, but also there's a lot of stuff that, if somebody will give it a welcoming
a home,
they can take it with them. So
there's an invitation for you because, I mean, this is my husband, my son have all, they've slobbered liberally over the many lovely, very hard to move things that you have out there, Willie. Right? Which let's talk about the Border Arts Residency. Mm. Tell me the story.
Well, in 1997, Carol Carnes took me to the El Paso Community Foundation to pitch an idea I had to create a residency for an artist in the El Paso area.
Because he had bought a cotton gin as his studio, and right across the street from our house, which was an old roadside bar. And so he bought the cotton gin, and he spent a year turning it into his studio and gallery area. And then one day, in about 97, he wanted to see what was upstairs, and he popped his head through the roof of his studio and saw what every sculptor or architect loves to see, which is nothing, just this beautifully shaped area of space. And he spent the next 3 years and more money than we had taking this space from nothing and turning it into a truly beautiful live-in studio, during which time he thought of the Border Art Residency.
The Community Foundation liked the idea so much that they offered to hire an attorney and set up the legal structure for the organization, and then said that if we would like to be umbrellaed by them, we would instantly have the nonprofit status. And the first board, a wonderful group of people, raised a couple of $100,000 to support the residency and create a small endowment. And we have now had an artist in residency in that building for the last 15 years.
That's absolutely stunning. I was reading up on this, and that it's been 15 years just blows me away.
Three artists from Japan that landed in America to come to this studio.
Wow.
And spend 10 months and then go back to Japan. One of them we actually found a donated car for one to use. Another one we took her to a used car lot to buy a little used car for the 10 months, and then she sells it back. So it's been interesting and very different artist. One artist brought computer equipment and printers and scanners, and the studio was just this pristine area with electronics, and the artist following him made sculpture out of junk. So it went from this print studio with computers to a collection of junk, you know, from one to the next. And Kumi Yamashita from Japan came in. I took particular pains to create this incredible light coming into this studio.
Yes.
It's so light, artists tell me they don't even have to light it to take photographs of their work. Kumi comes in and puts black Visqueen over all the windows to create absolute darkness, because her work was based on casting shadows.
Oh.
She'd create abstract forms that cast a shadow of something recognizable. And then she had to control the light completely, had to have no ambient light. So she blacks out all the beautiful windows I put in.
Which I hope have been restored.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, a friend of mine once bought a property that had a house on the front and then all this empty land behind it. And I remember looking at that and thinking, you know, that empty space, that's where your imagination gets to grow. Wow, have you created a space for that? We'll be right back, because I have plenty more questions about the Border Arts Residency and many other aspects of the lives of Ray Parrish and Becky Hendrick. We'll be right back.